everything is a bit blue today? Is it just me with very little sleep, or is everybody seeing blue? I'm all bicky blow. Okay. Because between die bokke en die babas, het ek nie baie slaap gekry nie. But it's good to be here. And the Lord is evidently in our midst and stirring our hearts. Who's been blessed this morning just by the Spirit of the Lord? Who's been rocked a bit? Sometimes the Lord comes and rocks us a bit. Not anyway. Let me pray. Jesus, please come and speak to us through your word, through your spirit. Thank you that I can be the lucky donkey this morning to be used by you. May our faith not be based on my words, but your spirit and power. Lord, I sense and I ask for a release and a shift of massive faith in our midst. Massive faith. And faith is simply that we can see in the spirit, that we can see what God sees. We don't see him plutter around in the flesh, Lord, but we can see spiritually. We can follow hard after you because you empower us in Jesus' name. So have your way, Father. May we see things this morning. May we see them. May we see them. May we see them. And in Jesus' name, we bless the guys next door, Father God. We bless the operations, and we ask God for your order. You decide. Thank you, Father. Not the enemy. You decide. Amen. Cool. We've been chatting, and the Lord has clearly spoken to our congregation, as you know, to be Kingsman Redeemers. In other words, to be redeemers to other people, to help other people as we've been helped. I need help daily, by the way. I need to be redeemed daily. But so we can also extend that to other people, be Kingsman Redeemers. And the Lord has clearly said that there's a massive harvest. Pray for the harvesters. Who's the harvesters in this church? All 14 van ons. Nee, everybody, yes. We are the harvesters. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And the Lord says, the lost is on his heart. I can so think, if that's your child, of your children, and they are lost, I can just so think of a father and a father with a father heart, how God must be at pains for the lost. And so he's stirring in us a heart for the lost and to be redeemers. But be that as it may, I then posed the question to you guys last week. So say, for instance, you speak to the lost. What are you going to give them? Are you going to give them some of your Christianese? Are you going to give them an orange t-shirt, a shofar cup? What are you going to give them? For the one thing that we all need is life. Life. And it comes in different shapes, forms, and sizes. And we said last week that I had the blikbeker here in a pretty decent cup. And often we so easily judge the container in which something is given to us, yet the essence or the matter of the fact is, what is the substance? What is inside? It's not what Johan is wearing this morning, or the fact that he's got a slick November mustache better than anybody else in November. It's not about that. It's about the substance of what came from the inside, from his spirit man, that can bless us, that can lead us, that can help us. So it's not the package, even though there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's a brilliant package, but it's not about the container. And so when we connect with people, when we fellowship with people, when we say, hey, come and join, or come and connect at church with people, it's not to give them the container, a cookie cutter container, but to make sure that there's substance. And the only substance that people want, the one we're made like this, is the substance of true life. What is that life called again? Zoe life, yes. Three forms of life we defined last time around. You can go to that slide, please. It is the bios, the psyche, or psyche, if you should put it in Greek. You can go to the third slide about, I think. And then the last one was the Zoe life. What are you preaching today, Dominique? It sure looks like a good sermon. You'll see on the USB stick, it's called Life Part 2. But that's also a good one. I can try to preach it to you guys. I don't know, but it might just suck a bit. So the three forms of life we get in Greek in the New Testament. One is bios. Second is the psyche or the psychological. That speaks of the soul realm. Mind, will, emotions. We're big and strong. We can very much be big and strong on that. Have you all seen artists? They've got a lot of soul. They've got a lot of life. But if that life is not the last life,
it's not eternal and can't sustain. So you can be full of soul. You can have lots of artist love and a great vibe. And you can give that to a lot of people, but it cannot sustain. The last one in Greek, the Zoe life, the God-like life is the one that can sustain. Amen. Thank you. So we need life. Amen. There you go. But we need the Zoe life. You can go to the next slide. Thank you so much. We said to each other, it's a God kind of life. Now, we've been in church services. We've been at small groups. We've been in conversations. We've had numerous coffees. We've had a million and one telephone calls. Some of them had life in them. Some of them were quite dead. We've been in business meetings with life and without life. Who's been in a business meeting and there was just such life in there? Amen. Who's been in a church service and there's just been nothing? This is, by the way, who's ever been in a church service and somebody else walks out and says, wow, the Lord rocked me, and you just sense nothing? Amen. We need to be careful when we discern. We said last week, hey guys, we need to be a discerning people. Discern the inside of the cup, not the outside. Not because it looks nice, like this do, does it mean that there's substance in there. But you get a place where somebody might be reading an article, somebody might be listening to a CD or a worship song, and it just does not speak to you, but it speaks to them. And in that discerning, God might be speaking to them by listening to that, but not to you. And that's the beauty, but there's also where we need to mature. Well, somebody might come in, and I've got a certain style, and it just does not work. But they need to discern the Spirit. Likewise, you've got different worshipers, you've got different bands, you've got different writers, people with brilliant books. And we need to discern, Holy Spirit, where is the life for me? Because Nettie might be blessed by that book, but it might not speak to me because it's not the season. And that's where maturity comes in. And that's also what is needed. Why am I talking about maturity? Why am I talking about discernment? It's because we need to give life that is in us to other people. Otherwise, what are we going to give them? We're going to give them a law. We're going to give them religion. And what does that do? It will kill. It might sound exciting because it's new to them, but inevitably, if they don't learn to eat and to experience the Lord and to discern, is this life or is this not life? Is this Zoe or is this psyche, soul? Then they also will, in 10 years' time, think, Christianity is dead. Where is God? The church is dead. Where is God? This coffee date with the pastor sucks. There's just no life in it. And that's why we need to mature, so that when they do come, and they will be coming, that we will give them. Because Peter will not always... Peter will not necessarily need exactly what Lizelle needs, and vice versa. So in the same household, the Lord might be pitching in a different way. And if I need to connect with them, I need to know by the Spirit, what will be Zoe life to him and what would it be to her? She might be more structured, and it's fine for her in a church setup to say, hey, come in, yes, do this, please help here. And she's like, wow, this is amazing, this is life. Peter is just like, what is this? Is this the sect? And so we learn to discern so that Zoe life can flow in our lives and through our lives. We said last week, John 6:63, the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. I'm going to repeat it. May this be imprinted in our lives. May this be part of our DNA as a church community. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Now the next question I want to pose is, where can God bring Zoe life? Where can God bring Zoe life? We know now Zoe life is Holy Spirit-inspired life. It is a God-like life. It's very similar to, it looks like, can look like things of the flesh, yet it's the one that you just know. You know that you know. That was God. That was eternal. You're like, yes. It's like good coffee, just better. Now, where can God bring Zoe life? Can he bring it in a school hall that's under construction, it's a bit dirty. We can give him a car with a back door entrance. He can bring it anywhere, yeah. But do you believe it? No, I'm not being funny, but do you actually believe it? Can you walk into Dunoon and say, Joey life. No, not Joey life. May you bless Joey. Yes, amen. Zoe life B. Do you believe? Can you walk into a club on a Friday night at 11 o'clock where people are doing lines of coke when they are smoking pot, where they are freaking out, and you can say, Zoe life B. Take your flag with. Can you walk into that relationship, that inner relationship that you've had from your past and say, Zoe life, do you believe that he can truly bring Zoe life anywhere? That's a good thing. I prayed for faith. May the Lord just stir our faith this morning. Now the first point there I just wanted to mention is streams of life. We're talking about life. We're saying the Lord has a heart for the harvest. He's got a heart for his church, but we need to be a people, not of formula or container as much as we are of substance. And we need to be a people to discern, is this my father or is this not? Is this his still small voice or not? For if I know his still small voice, then I can help George, or George can help me to discern the still small voice. And then what is the place that he can bring that life in? Now, I just want to rewind very quickly. At the beginning of the year, moving into this year, 2018, who was really excited about this year? No, who was excited about this year? Who was really whacked hard this year? I was really whacked hard this year. You have no idea. I can't share it here. It's all fine. It's not a major issue. Well, it was for me, but not a paper-like issue. But I was whacked hard this year. But at the beginning of the year, I didn't expect that. Neither did you. What we did here, however, is the Lord saying, it is a new day. Do you remember that? He said, it is a new day. And the word that this over New Year's, I remember Bill Johnson of One, which I really trust, and I trust his fruit, and a number of others, posted Isaiah 43:19. It was one of the first things that I preached on as well. Isaiah 43:19. It's something that actually sporadically just came up during the year. Now, Isaiah, you can go to the slide that shows us Isaiah 43:19. Says the following, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Somebody recall that? At least do your spirit recall that? Amen. And so we stood still and then we went into go low. But we just said, the Lord is going to do a new thing. And one night at a leaders meeting, I remember George distinctly said, it was a powerful word saying that God's going to take us into a season that we will only be able to do it by His Spirit. Something along those lines. And it sounds so good when he said it. But it was so hard when I lived it. So I'll think twice before I give him the podium in the field. No, I'm just joking. But it just, yes, of course, only by the Spirit. But you don't realize that you're going to go through a freaking fire. And it will only be by the Spirit. That was very applicable in my life. So the Lord did a new thing this year. It didn't turn out the way I thought it's going to turn out. And I could only do it, and I'm still only doing it by His Spirit and grace and accountability. Hallelujah. But so that's what the Lord set us up. But what stood out, because I read this verse to my children one evening when I was putting them to bed in our perfect little home where everything goes nice, everything is in its place, nobody ever lifts their voice, everybody gets fed at the right time, everybody's teeth are brushed, and where we sing Kumbaya, blow out the candle and go to bed all together. In that home, yo, that's what I expected. That was just a joke, by the way. It is nothing like that. Jesus, help us. Oh, man. Pressed from all sides, but not crushed. Lucky storm. Anyway, I was reading Bible to my kids, which is not a bad thing, especially in this season. And I read Isaiah 43:19, and it just leaped to me. And he said, I will make rivers in the desert. I will make a way in the wilderness. And I just realized again, it is the God I serve. It is the God I serve. Because what I've been experiencing just in my personal life is just a wilderness. It's been a wilderness. And there's a desert-like area in my life that really sucks. But I serve the God that brings a way in the wilderness. I seek a God and I follow a God that says, I will make a river in your desert. And that just leaped to my heart. My children might not have even grasp it, but I believe that was for me that evening. And so I realized, yeah, that is what I need to share on this morning surrounding life. So where can he bring Zoe, the God kind of rivers in our lives? And you already told me everywhere. It's a nice thing to say in church. But when you're in your desert emotionally, when you're in your desert spiritually, when you're even in a physical type desert, then it's another thing. And that's why I want you to dig deep with me today. So dig deep. It just sounds cool. Hashtag dig deep. That's probably a bit old school. Money are y'all. For our faith to be stirred, let's look at Exodus 17, where it literally happened. And we're going to trust that it spiritually happens all over. For we want to be a people not of form per se, but of substance. And the substance we want is Zoe life. We want rivers. Rivers of Zoe life. Because we know that only thing that can sustain us, that can quench, that can help, that can uplift, that can redeem, and that can have eternal value is that which is God life, not man life. Church can be full of programs, can be full of stuff. Cell group and relationships, friendships can be full of cool stuff. You might have lots of money, you go to grand restaurants, and you have your 4x4s, and you do nice things, you go camp, you do this, that, and the other, but if it has no Zoe, it will not be sustained. In simplicity, you can sit on the ground and break bread together and have Oros, but if there's Zoe life, that is a sustainable friendship. And so that is what I want to stir our hungers with. Anyway, back to Exodus 17. It says the following. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, quite ironically, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at that place, but there was no water for the people to drink. And I don't want us to be a place. I don't want our small groups, I don't want our friendships and our homes to be a place where there's no water to drink. We almost had that in the drought, but we don't want that spiritually. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Who of you came here this morning saying, Retief, give me water to drink. Because praise God, it's not my job. I can just be the hose sometimes. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there. I know this is physical water, but I know it prophetically speaks of something spiritual that we know, and it manifests through the Spirit in the New Testament. We don't have time to stand still there. But you know what? People are thirsty. They can look how cool and how suave and how stunning as they want to look. They might look as Facebooky and as Instagrammy as the next guy. But guess what? At heart, we are all thirsty. Say, all thirsty. All thirsty. Somebody might come up with the biggest ego that you've seen to mankind. And I've seen a couple of those. Probably have been one of those now and again, way back. Praise God. But at heart, if all of those masks, if all of those facades are put down, if all of that coolness is being stripped, heart, we're just thirsty. Just very thirsty. Amen. Likewise, they were physically thirsty. They said, why do you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take it in your hand, the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. We know later on he does that again. He should speak to the rock, but he has a bit of a tantrum there, and then he misses out on the promised land. But the bottom line, the focus today is, there's a rock. Who's ever seen some water come out of a rock? Whew. That's quite, that rocks. Yes? Yes? Amen. Wow. Moses probably went there for a long weekend with his family. hulle het met hulle kombi gaan kamp in Portugal. Toe maak Moses gou 'n plan. Brilliant, in Portugal. Hy het so gekrap, Moses was hier. Anyway, we're digressing. Let's just stay on the track. Jesus, thank you. We don't often see that water gushing from a rock, yet we all need that. Where else, now if we think more spiritually, more symbolically, where in the Bible do we see the Lord come and He provides water, river, life in other words, in a dead, deserty place? Where do we see that? Chris mentioned this morning, who did he mention? An individual. Saul. Saul the desert, who became Paul the river, I would like to say. Who would have thought that a desert-like creature like Saul, killing and or at least adhering to the killing of the believers, will become a river of living waters that wrote the most of the New Testament to us today? That absolute wilderness, that absolute desert, so to speak, became this gushing river. For me, that's just beautiful. That's just so God. From a rock, a hard rock, a hard nut, lifeless hard nut rock, to a life-giving blessing to the body. What else? Where else do we see in the Word? Really a tough year. Yes. Amen. Amen. John the Baptist, living literally in the desert, eating locusts and honey, wearing weird stuff, camel hair, weird stuff. Yet then he made the way for the Messiah and even then baptized the Messiah, the one that would bring the true life, the Spirit, to us one day. Beautiful. What else? Whom else? Where do we see any more of those examples? Yes, amen. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, they had no help. It seemed like, what are they going to do? They're going to wait on the Lord. And as they wait on the Lord, He came and He brought the literal downpour of the Spirit, and living waters came from there. Zoe life. So we see that the Lord does use, and there's many other, if you should take this way of thinking, there's many ways in which we can go look for them in the Word, and even in our own lives where there's a desert-like place. Just think of Ezekiel, just prophesying over dead bones. I know it's a different picture, but it's the same heart. A valley of dead bones, and God says, come, prophesy. What comes from our mouth? Life. What came from God's mouth? Life. So prophesy, speak over this desert-like place. Speak over this wilderness. And henceforth, the flesh came back and they could stand up, and God returned life. So God brings life to the destitute. God brings life to the weary. God brings life to the deserts. Now let's break it down even further. Let's look at the deserts and the rivers, so to speak. Remember, we're speaking about Zoe life. We need something ourselves, and then we need something to give. Do we need to give them only to the lost? No, to our children. There's millions of moments in my home that is not Zoe life. Sorry. And I need to hone in, and I need to say, Lord, I need countless Zoe life moments, because that's how they will get to know your Spirit. They will need to know your character. That's the way that they will be fulfilled. Otherwise, they will be seeking other taps. If there's not a Zoe life tap in your home, I'm sorry, if there's not a Zoe life tap in your home, they're going to go look for Zoe somewhere else. And it might not be spelt the same way. Anyway, it's a grappie. Now focusing on the deserts, what is the tough stuff? What is the wilderness or wildernesses, and where are the deserts in our lives? We already said we have got faith for the impossibilities. But let's just think, what is a desert? If you remember, we're playing with a picture here, with the Lord, biblical picture. We're using a biblical principle here today. We're stirring faith because we trust that what we do is by the Spirit and that we'll be life givers. Is everybody still on board with me? Where's the deserts in our community? If you should look out the door, where's the dry patches that there's no life? Everywhere. How about a mall? I didn't think about that in preparation. It looks full of life, but how much life is in a mall? Only in Vida Cafe we know there's life, but I don't know about the rest of them. Where else is there dry patches? Where's the deserts in our community? Schools. We're sitting in one. Praise God, this is not today. The schools. The schools are deserts. What about the homes in our area? Brenda teaches, a couple of you guys teach, and I'm sure you fortunately and unfortunately get to know the children of the area and areas. You see the fruit of their lives, you hear what they say, and immediately you'll know if that is a desert at home, is it a wilderness at home, or is it a Zoe Life River at home? And I'm not saying it's going to be all perfect. Where else is the deserts in our area? Families. The homeless. Yes, absolutely, definitely. Whose street is a desert, spiritually? I think my street is more of a desert than it is a river. There's pockets, but my street as a whole, my community as a whole, is not a river yet. Is yours? Our schools, we can't really say, I believe there's a massive river here, and I've seen pictures on Thursday morning, so I believe for a massive river in the school. But if you look around at all of the schools, and I pray at least at two of them every week, or every second week sometimes, I don't see that there's all of Zoe-like rivers. I believe there's deserts. How about, if you look a bit further, how about our government and local government? What do you see? Desert, wilderness, or Zoe River? Do you see a river in the desert? Where else? Come, work with me. The marketplace. What do you see in the marketplace? There's a couple of you that's in the marketplace. What do we see in the marketplace? Desert? What is it more likely to be, a desert or a river? For sure a desert, yes. Let's hone it in a bit. Family and in-laws, and let's throw it open. Is there desert patches in your families? Or is it, woohoo, rivers? I see a lot of desert moments. Yes, so there's desert. Is there ample amount of desert? In other words, is there enough need around us for Zoe Life? Is there more than enough need for Zoe Life rivers in the desert? Amen. Now that I've got you on that, what do we need then? What do we need? We've established the fact that there's enough deserts around us. In fact, sometimes you might find yourself in a desert in your own home if you're not careful. So we've established that fact and we know that. We can see it, unfortunately, all around because we see the fruit of deserts and wilderness and not necessarily of living water, rivers. So what do we have to do? What is needed? What is needed? What is needed? Water. Before you answer the whole question, let's remember that question. I want to know what is needed. We know there's enough deserts, but what do we need? Let's go to John 4. You all know the story. We're going to look at the wellsprings now. When Jesus went, when Jesus knew that the Pharisees heard, he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria, so he came to a town called Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about 6 in the evening. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her. For he probably said, "Please." I think he did. But anyway, I didn't translate the Bible. But I think he said, "Please." Jesus said to her, for his disciples had gone into town to buy food, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Now, just quickly, context, there's lots of good stuff in it. We're just going to hone in on one or two truths. The Samaritan and the Jews did not mix. In fact, the Jews really looked down upon the Samaritan. So there was a cluster distinguishment here. And it was really unheard of ever for, firstly, a Jew to speak to a Samaritan, and even more so for a man, a Jewish man, to speak to a Samaritan woman. That's like just insane. So get the context. Think desert. Think river. as we go. She asked him, "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him and he would give you living waters." Water. "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket." That's quite funny. That's just brilliant. "And the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again," referring to the pit. "But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life." "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." That was just the word of knowledge that he had, because I didn't put in the next scripture. She had already, he told her, 5 husbands, and the one she was with weren't her husband. So that's number 6. What does that show us? Just quickly of her. She's thirsty. She's been drinking from the taps of many men, but it's not quenched her thirst. And so the Lord just speaks into it in a very polite way. Just speaks into that and say, "Hey, you've got a need. You're actually very thirsty. I can give you living waters." And he didn't judge her. He just actually pointed to the mere fact that she was really thirsty and could not find that in men. Going back to verse 30, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from this the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life." Rewinding a bit, we have lots of deserts in our midst and we can see them clearly. And we ask the question, now what do we need? If we've got so many deserts, what do we need? What do we need? In context of the scripture, it's not a difficult question. What do we need to see rivers in the desert? God needs you. And you. And you. And you, 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 and you. That's what he needs. There's deserts all around. But he needs you to become a river in the desert. You are the answer, the Spirit in you, that will well up, the Spirit in you, that as you drink of him, that will become a what? Become a river. That is exactly what is needed in the deserts. You are the answer. I am the answer to my desert. I am the answer. If there's a desert in my home, it's not God come, it's God be. There's an issue in the school, you're teaching here, or even if the Lord speaks to our church, here's where the river needs to come from. On a Thursday morning, here's where the river needs to start. In your street, if it's a desert, guess what? Where's the river, Lord? I see no water. It's in the inside. The river's standing there. It needs to start flowing. Everybody looks so excited about this. Please, just keep calm, guys. Please, don't run out yet. We're not even gotten to the good part. You need to be the wellspring in your desert. If it's a broken down family, guess what? There's grace upon your life. So that the wellspring of living waters that can flow from your belly to be Zoe life in a desert, in a wilderness that is your family. If your work is to such a degree that you want to pull your hair out of your head and it's really a desert, and you're still God ordained to be there, guess what?
Jy's 'n rivier.
We can get t-shirts. You're a river. You are the answer of the Lord there. It's not the guy that needs to come work there. It's not the other guy. It's not the other pastor. It's not the youth pastor. It's not any the funi that comes fly all the way from America. No. You are the wellspring of life. You are the river in those deserts. Now, just a quick couple of testimonies that I thought of that I've heard recently, just in our midst. Nick won't share too much, probably, but Nick works at a big business. And so he just started a Bible study and prayer. And then in the midst of his desert, very practically, life started to happen. He shared testimonies. I don't have time and I don't have his permission to share the testimonies either. But the long story short is life started to happen. And more and much more people than he expected actually came to these meetings. And even the guys that he didn't expect it from is giving prophetic words to him and are really blessing him. So in the midst of a desert in the corporate world, a river can be started. I look at Richard and Eleanor. They saw a desert, in other words, a wilderness, brokenness, in a certain area in life, and even in this area. And by the Lord's grace, and I know it's not easy, it's very easy for me to just talk about it. I'm not living out this river. But they became a river. Likewise, Bianca, working with them, have a heart for children, have a heart for the lost, became a river in a desert, fulfilling scripture, giving Zoe life to those that would otherwise not have it. Have you ever gone to the Wimpy with Shawl? Have you ever gone to the Wimpy with Shawl? Be careful. Be careful. Sit down. My mind's busy. My heart is full of no capacity. I just want a greasy breakfast and a big cup of coffee. And they don't even serve almond milk. So I'm like already, oh, Lord, okay, let's do this. But he's nice. He's always nice. So it's good. I sit down, not in a good space. He sits down. The waitress comes along, gives a name, very polite. He says, when you come back, my friend's got a prophetic word for you. I almost punched him in his face. I want to share with her how I want my eggs done. Thank you. I don't want to give her a prophetic word. I would like brown toast, not to prophesy, and a big cup of coffee. But no, I'm glad he's not here today. But no, Shawl says, he'll prophesy. I'm like, isn't that witchcraft, Lord? Apparently it wasn't, because God immediately gave me a word. I'm like, how did that happen? I didn't even want that. Give her a word that really rocks her. She comes back, she's like, how do you know? I think it was like three kids, middle kid, this. And she's like, how do you know? I'm like, it's his fault. At the end, I had my coffee and my breakfast, thank you, Lord. But I think about 7 or 8 waitresses and the manager and another manager came, of whom a lot of them were in tears at the end of the day. I didn't feel like being all Zoe. I felt like breakfast, coffee, and a chat. But yet, just in that moment, there's a desert around me. And just his faith and his boldness and his childlikeness and me getting over my offense and my flesh made for 7 or 8 women really to be blessed by life. What is it? Streams of rivers in deserts. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. For what? The Samaritan woman learned wealth. It comes from your inside. Once you drink of that Zoe life, it can become a gushing river that comes just forth from you. And not even, as I said in Wimpy jokingly, not even when you feel like it, God can still be God. Just yield. Just yield and say, I'll be a well. Just yield and say, I'll be a river. I'll be a river. There's more testimonies. Next week, please do come. Hein, my friend and accountability partner of many years. He ministers all over. He's got a prophetic ministry, spoken into my life so much. He's going to come and preach next week on the prophetic. And yeah, he's in Portsmouth prison. You should hear. He can't even share most of the testimonies here. It'll freak you out in the place. If you will ever want to see and hear desert, wilderness-like stories, and then God comes with Zoe-like rivers. Boom. And he just touches those people. Like, amazing. Maybe he'll share a couple of those. My last point today, and if I, probably I'm in a good space, I won't cry now, but the chances are well. that there's distance in our lives. But you know what I've learned a very hard way recently? I serve a God that calls forth rivers of retribution. Rivers of revenge. Have you ever heard of rivers of revenge? It's my own term, but I believe it's biblical. Rivers of revenge. What is that? What is that? Let's look at John 10:10. If you can go to John 10:10 for me, please. Thank you. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. What do I read there? I see desert. After killing, stealing and destroying, what's left? Nothing. Life is sucked away. Yet, paradoxical to that, beautifully, Jesus says, no, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly, of life and life in abundance. Now, these two parallels, these two contrasts are next to each other. Now, what does it have to do with rivers of retribution or revenge? I believe there, where the enemy has stolen the most in your life, where he's really ripped apart, where he's really left nothing, where he's really just left a desert behind, where there's no life, no growth, it is exactly there where my God can bring a river. So for instance, if poverty was something that the enemy, he just came to kill, steal, and destroy in your family line, and you guys just had absolutely nothing. It was just a desert when the enemy was left, and we don't give him credit today. Hear my heart, I'm just sketching a picture. But he left nothing. That if consecrated to God, if stood up in faith, if called forth, that is exactly where a wellspring can come. That is exactly where the Lord can come. If, in my case, I didn't have a perfect family life, didn't have a perfect family life growing up, it's a place where I believe I was left partly with a desert. Today I've got a massive heart for what? Not in all other areas, but boom. There where the life, where life left me with the desert, there I want a river. There I want a river. Where I was left with nothing, there I want a river. Might be in the area of fathering, where your father wasn't there. You never knew your father even. It was dormant, it was wilderness, it was a desert. There was so much destruction. You were not parented. You were not led. You were not protected. You were not cared for. You were not loved. You were not discipled. You were not provided for. It is a mess. And it hurts like hell. Guess what? I believe that can be a river of retribution. In our community, this I'm going to proclaim, and I proclaim for God's grace over us. Tableview is known for lots of stuff. Sunningdale is known for lots of stuff. Parklands is known for lots of stuff. But I say in Jesus' name, no. There's spoken broken homes over this area many times. Divorce many times. It is a deserty lie. Guess what? Guess what? We're here. We are here. Guess where a river of life, of wholesome, godly marriages and families can be planted by the Lord. If somebody will stand up, right here. We can take this further. There's people that's really impoverished in this area. We think we have it tough at home, and we say this to each other at least 3 times a day. We've got everything needed in our circumstances to cope. There's people that's got a million times less in this country. They've been left with a desert. It's exactly there. If somebody's willing to step in to say, God, bring a river. God, bring a river. God, bring a river. Sharon's not here. Sharon deals. She's in a school somewhere. Deals with lots of kids every day out of broken homes. Now, Sharon can see a lot of desert. But Sharon decided to say, I'll sacrifice. I lay down, exactly the word George brought. I lay down, I'll sacrifice. I'll step in because I know who my God is and I know His Spirit. I'll go stand in this desert and say, come, river. Bring a river. Even if it's only 5 children, it's 5 children for eternity. Bring a river. Bring a river. Bring a river. Will you stand with me this morning? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, to leave a desert. But I have come that you may have, and that you may have life, and life in abundance, that you may have rivers. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Father God, this morning I believe so much should shift in the spirit, Lord, and I thank you that it does. It shifts in the heart of man. It shifts in the heart of this church. And it shifts in this area in Jesus' name. I've got a desert. I've got a desert influence in my life that's been there for 31 years. And I'm in a season where I never wanted to face this desert again. I never wanted to go there again, but I was forced to go to this deserty place again. And in that, and in the turmoil of that, God is leading me to a place where He says, I will, in the place of most destruction, I will be able to bring Zoe life. I can be the one who avenges and bring restitution and bring life where there was death. I can. And so today I'm standing here, not even at the end, but in the midst, I believe, of a testimony. And this is why God said to me as I prepared for the sermon, He said to me, your life is the sermon. I'm like, I don't understand that, Lord. And later on it dawned on me. But what I want to invite you into this morning is, before we do so for others, we're going to do that right now, is what is the area of most destruction that the enemy came for you in your life or in your family? And bring that desert to the Lord. If you want to say today, Lord, you can bring a river in this desert. If that is you, I want you just to raise your hand in faith. If you don't understand the question, you don't have to raise your hand. That's fine. But if in your spirit you understand exactly what's going on, then you just say, Lord, I bring the desert of destruction, the desert of Anah, the desert of the enemy, or what the enemy has left. And I say, here will rise a river. For here will rise a river. Put up your hands. Thank you, Father. Lord, you see these hands representing deserts in lives. We just say, thank you, Father God, for your word. For Christ, we call on your name today. We call on your spirit today. We lift up our homes to you. We lift up our marriages to you and our families to you in these situations. Now we just declare, rivers come. Rivers of living waters come. Rivers of God-breathed Zoe life come. Come, come. In every one of these deserts, come, come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Life to come. Thank you for life and retribution and avenging of the Lord. Not of us, but of the Lord will come. And living waters will come. Living waters will come. Living waters will come. And I thank you, Lord, that you will restore sevenfold what the enemy has stolen in the deserts of our lives and of our families and for the generation to come. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. I thank you for rivers. I thank you for testimonies that in due season we will come together and say, in that area that I dreaded, in that area that I really got hurt, in that area that there was nothing, there's now life, there's now peace, there's now favor, there's now godliness, there's now order, there's now offspring, there's now love, there's now covenant, there's now godliness in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Have your way. And Lord, then we want to stand in the gap, Lord, for the lost. I'm going to say in this area, Father God, we speak to the lie, the deserty lie of broken homes in this area, and we stand up and we lift up our hands and we say, Father God, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, bring rivers. Bring rivers in homes. Bring rivers in marriages. Bring rivers in friendships. Bring rivers, Father. Rivers of Zoe life. Rivers of Zoe life. Rivers of Zoe life. I speak to every single marriage, godly marriage, represented in our areas where we live. And I speak over you, rivers, rivers, rivers in Jesus' name. Rivers in Jesus' name. Rivers in Jesus' name. Not by might, nor by power, but by God's Spirit. For He alone will avenge. He alone will come and bring retribution. He alone will come and save with His mighty right hand. For He alone is a good Father. For He alone is pure and perfect. But by His grace, He will bring rivers in deserts. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. We come, Lord, against alcohol, drug abuse, and bondage, Father God, in our areas, the deserts of bondage of our areas, Lord, albeit porn addictions or whatever the case may be. And we ask, God, where possible, that You might use us and to love others in purity, to love others, Father God, that You will bring rivers in deserts, rivers in deserts, rivers in deserts. And lastly, thank You, Lord, for the loss that has been drinking from a million and one other taps, but not satisfied, constantly getting new stuff, new this, and not being filled up, Lord. We speak to those deserts and say, River of life, come. Zoe, life of God, come. Spirit of God, come in this area and use us in our streets, use us in our schools, use us in our businesses, use us in our neighborhoods, use us in our areas and in spheres of influence to become rivers of living waters. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You for Your blood over us. Thank You that You cover us. And thank You that You multiply and extend this word, the seed, and the impact of this through all of our church, Lord. Every single person that wants to and willing to accept it, may You multiply it through us all. And may we see rivers come to deserts through us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.